Ah, yes, it's that time again. Just when you think you have it all figured out, something comes along that makes you question everything. This is Unexplained Incorporated, and we are open for business. We just want to know.
Ready to believe you.
Ready to believe you. It's all true. All of it.
Ah, yes, it's that time again. You guessed it, time for your Friday night fright. This is Unexplained Incorporated, and the doors are open. My name is Phantom Phil, and thank you for joining me on this week's edition of the Friday Night Fright Unexplained Incorporated. Don't have much of an intro for you this week. Had a great session with Amanda Drago, and we're going to get into it right away. We are now at the end of May already, which is just crazy, and it's time for our first official psychic mailbag with our resident psychic medium and Reiki practitioner, Reiki master, Amanda Drago. And we have almost half a dozen questions for you today, Amanda. So first of all, thank you for returning since last April. And what's been going on with you this past month, if anything significant at all, other than being locked down?
Hey, Phil. Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. I've been doing a lot of gardening and a lot of housework, to be totally honest, the last month or so. So, that's been keeping me very busy.
Oh, that's excellent. Like we were at the end of last month, a lot of intense energy, not just, you know, in our own lives, but just all over the world. And I'm sure you've been feeling some of that as well, have you not? Have you been overwhelmed by what's been going on, or are you staying above water pretty good?
I would say that the last 3 months have been really a roller coaster. So it feels as though I'm getting off of the roller coaster at this point. So yay, thank goodness. So I'm finding that even with some of the really heavy collective energy, it's hitting me. But fortunately, I know what to do to heal my heart and right. And then send that energy of light out to, you know, whoever needs it, whether it's through Reiki or high vibes, good vibes, whatever it is. So mm-hmm. That's been pretty interesting lately.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people in need of those vibes. So just keep playing your part and do what you do. Today, as we record this, we're having a nice gentle rain today. We've had about 4 or 5 days of just crazy heat where we live, which is a little unusual for this time of year. So I think we're in the right space, the right headspace to take a deep breath and let go. And we're going to get into our mailbag questions as we have a decent amount to start off. Are you ready to go, Amanda?
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm really curious to share kind of what I know.
Yeah. So you never know. You may even learn something through these questions. We'll just have to see. So I just have the question to read and the first name of the person who sent them. If you send them to AmandaDrago444 at Hotmail or PhantomPhilUnexplained@gmail, you can just share your first name and the city you're from if you like. But if you don't want your location given, that's cool too. As our first question comes from Nick. What do you do to prepare for a session after an appointment is set. And I don't know 100%, but I want to assume Nick is talking about mediumship. If there's any type of preparation you need to do, or do you set the appointment and then the work starts right when the client arrives or is about to arrive?
Yeah, that's fantastic. Because I do specific things to prepare for sessions. So if it's, if it's psychic or mediumship, generally I will not be having any alcoholic beverages, usually 24 hours before, especially red wine. I know it sounds silly, but to be honest, red wine drops my vibration and it makes me feel low. So that's one portion, is I watch what I eat and I watch what I drink. Oftentimes when someone books in, I will usually get some sort of sign or psychic impression from what's going to happen during the reading. If it's a mediumship reading, I may have their past loved ones pop in beforehand. And it's kind of funny because they're popping in and they're checking in to see what I'm all about and how they're going to be able to communicate with me. So that is one portion of it. And then the day of a session, I just make sure that I am properly nourished and hydrated, because if I'm not anchored and grounded in my energy, I can get completely knocked off my feet when spirit or psychic energy comes in. So I would say those preparations are some of the most important things that I do. Not to mention probably 5 or 10 minutes before a session, I'll just simply sit down, relax, try to clear my mind. And then usually it's having to hold back spirit energy until their loved one has arrived, saying, okay, just wait, hang on, they're almost here, and let's do the session. Yeah, so that's my preparation usually.
That is a tremendous amount of preparation, and it doesn't sound far-fetched at all when you said you have to watch what you eat or drink and no red wine, because just recently, recent guest Kevin Estrella, he talked about eliminating fluoride from your water and your toothpaste if you can, and said to watch what you eat to reach different levels of consciousness. So there's definitely a lot of merits in what you said there, and really fascinating stuff. Are you ready for our next question here?
Let me just add one more thing. Everyone, every medium or every intuitive is different. So some intuitives or mediums will not eat red meat before sessions, or they'll refrain from social media. So it just truly depends on the psychic or medium that you're going to for that. Yeah.
And one more thing to add to that, that I just thought of, is there's a podcast I listen to personally with a medium, and she says she cannot touch yogurt before doing any kind of a reading because it just dulls her senses. So there you go.
For sure. Yeah. Everyone's so different. And it doesn't mean that it's good or bad. If you can drink red wine before a session, do it. Do whatever is truly right for you. Yeah.
Yeah. As long as you don't overdo it, that's perfectly fine. So now our next question, we have two from Amy. I'll just read you the first one and you can respond. What happens to the soul when you pass onto the other side? Kind of a loaded question, but I'd love to hear your answer.
Oh, for sure. That's a big one. I can only speak from the perspective from what I have seen. And when I say seen, it's definitely clairvoyance. So intuitively what I see, what I feel, and then with the Reiki sessions and using the Reiki energy. So I can speak from that point of view. So the soul is essentially energy, and energy cannot be nor created nor broken. And so I truly believe that the soul does leave the physical body, and it does go somewhere. It absolutely goes to the other side where the souls live. You can call it the other side. You can call it walking into the light, heaven, whatever term you use, it's basically all the same. So essentially that is what happens. And depending on how the individual has passed away, if this has been a traumatic event, their soul is going to transition differently. If it's a peaceful passing and all of the lessons and everything that is needed to be done is done, then those folks, in my opinion, truly go to the light and go to heaven. And I can use my grandmother, for instance. She passed peacefully, thank goodness. And when it was time for her celebration of life, she was out. No one felt her at the ceremony and celebration because she went to heaven. She was content. She was reunited with her relatives, and she didn't need to hang around. Where other folks, if you know, passing traumatically, their souls could absolutely hang on until their story is known, or until a certain piece of component is wrapped up and healed.
I don't mean to interrupt or sway away from that question, but what you just said, could that be a possible explanation for hauntings?
When a soul is at unrest or extremely comfortable in the environment that they're residing in here on Earth, then I would say, yes, that probably accounts for 95% of what we call hauntings.
Yeah, and like you said before, every medium is different in how they prepare for their sessions. And based on what you just said, it sounds like every soul is different with how they transition, and I guess in some cases when they transition. Like there's like one story, one soul is not the same.
Oh my goodness, you're so right. And so when I get the opportunity to connect with a client's past loved ones, that spirit, that soul, definitely interacts with me different. So if they were abrasive in life, they might come across abrasive to me. Mm-hmm. If they were extremely humorous, I might begin laughing during the reading, with respect, of course, but just bringing in that personality. So my clients know, oh my goodness, this is exactly who I think she's talking about and talking to. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, all great answers. We have a second question from Amy, which we'll get to right now. Okay, not 100% sure on the wording on this, but I'll play with it the best I can. What is the difference between psychic and mediumship? So I guess it's the difference between psychic work and sessions and mediumship sessions, if there is a difference.
Yeah, that is a fantastic question. So with the mediumship, for me at least, I go up my mediumship staircase, right? So I've got someone coming in that wants to talk to spirit. They want to talk to potential past loved ones. I definitely take a different route in my vibration and how I open up so that I can bring this soul, bring this spirit through nice and close to me. So that's mediumship. And then psychic it's truly like an intuitive reading. So I'm using all of my senses to find and explore the energy and what is going on with my client. And oh my goodness, psychic is such a broad subject. It's a broad, It's a broad, subject, I suppose.
Spectrum.
Yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm. In the sense of remote viewing or clairaudience or the different ways that we receive intuitive messages and what we wish to find out with the intuitive information. So I would say those are the two differences.
Okay. Our wonderful Skype machine cut out briefly in the middle of that. So I just want to try and sum up what you said to make sure that we're all clear on the same page. Psychic is more dealing with the energy in and around the individual, while mediumship is more about communication with spirit associated to that individual. Do I have that correct?
That's a good summary. I would also add in that psychic could also be about future events. Psychic could also be about past events. So I would add that element, that piece into the psychic or intuitive reading.
Sure. And one more thing I'd like to add about that is I think amongst the masses, there's a common misconception that psychic readings are all about stuff that is in your future or potential future that hasn't happened yet. But the readings I've had over the years, that includes ones with yourself, it's all how past, present, and future connect together and what may come to pass. Is that right?
I would say yes, that's a component of it. And then it's also about what the client wants as far as a psychic reading. Is my client coming to me with medical intuition as a focus? Because that would change the whole session or reading altogether. For instance, if they want to know about what's going on with the chakra system or the energy systems or cells, tissues, organs, organ systems, then I completely change my protocol to go after that specific information.
Awesome. Our next set of questions come from Aaron. It's another two-part question. Or this one's a two-part question, and then there's one more after that. What is the higher soul self? And how can I, meaning basically anybody who wants to know, connect with it?
Yeah, so the higher soul self truly is the soul that resides inside each and every one of us. The soul is what carries and holds all of our spiritual DNA, past lives, past, gosh, traumatic events. It holds the future, the path. And so connecting with it is easier than people think. If someone actually truly wants to connect to their higher soul self, their intentions are in alignment with doing that. So what I would suggest when trying to connect to the higher soul self or even spirit guides, and this is something that I did when I was strengthening my connection. I would sit in obviously my sacred space, so it's quiet, the light's dimmed, I can really concentrate and just relax, is I had a pad of paper and I would just start journaling. And then I would just start asking questions to myself for my highest good. And 9 times out of 10, before I was able to use my ego and my physical self to think and answer the question, I would get the answer. So that's one amazing tool that you could use in order to connect and then strengthen the connection.
All right. You gave a very good answer and explanation for the higher self, the higher soul self. Aaron's final question is, what are spirit guides?
Okay, yeah. So, oh boy, here we go. So every single human has a spirit guide, has a spirit team, has ancestors in spirit that in some degree will interact with us here in the physical world. So, spirit guides can show up in the form of many different things. It could be an animal that's come to you in the form of an animal spirit guide to bring through messages. It could be grandparents. That's been really big lately, is clients having ancestors and grandparents as their spirit guides. Let's see here. Oh boy, spirit guides are also interdimensional guides of light that are only interested in supporting us, loving us, and helping us out on our soul paths and journey. Whatever form your spirit guide may take, it could change. I would say most everyone has a spirit guide who was with them when they were born and who stays with them for life. Usually that is the case. Then we have different spirit guides that come in with different events or situations in our lives, and they may stay for a little bit and then move on once we've learned the lesson.
Right. Mm-hmm. Spirit guides are such a vast subject, but I think you nailed it on the head pretty good right there. So just before we wrap up this edition, sorry, did you want to add something?
Can I just add something? Because I feel like someone listening probably needs to hear this. Mm-hmm. And it's about spirit guides. And it's not being hung up on getting a name and it's of your spirit guide. It's not getting hung up on seeing them and what they look like. Because usually they go by vibration. So a human name that we may assign them really is not that important. I would say as you grow your connection, absolutely, you might get names. You might get from different places that they come from and reside from. But don't get hung up on the initial name of the guide.
Yeah, that's a great advice as well. Just before we wrap up this section, we're going to have a bit of a discussion with you and I that's related to next week's podcast, which I think you're going to find very fascinating, and I'd love to hear your opinions on it. But for the moment, I'm going to put you on the spot because it just seems like every time you and I connect, whether it's in person, face-to-face, or it's through Skype or whatever, you have a message to pass on to me that a guide or someone is telling you that just won't go away. Has anything come up since we have started talking that you need to pass on to me, or is it all silent on that vibration today? I'm just curious.
For sure. Okay, let me open up, right? This is my process that I go through. Let's actually see what's going on here. And is it okay if I share everything that I get, Phil?
Yeah, I honestly don't see why not. I mean, things are pretty dull in my life anyway.
I was going to say, I don't know how juicy this is going to get, but let's just see.
All right.
I'm teasing. Okay, so one of the first things that is coming up for you is that I'm seeing an ancient old tree planting roots and developing really strong roots and connections into the ground. So for me, when I see that, it shows me that your root chakra is really beginning to feel more security and stability in you, in your abilities, and in your strength to provide the life and manifest the life that you want to bring in. So just right off the bat, that's just really what I'm getting. Even with the uncertain times, it's almost as though you're really establishing a strong support system within yourself, and likely who you're surrounding yourself with and following your passion of what you're being pulled to do. Because that's another thing. You're on a path and a course and you have a full-time job and what you're doing. But then I also feel like there's something else over here and it's like mm-hmm. pulling you toward it. It's like, yes, this is what pays the bills. This is what you do to get by in life and what you have to do. But that pull is getting stronger to your soul alignment.
Mm. Okay.
Is that making sense for you there?
Oh, absolutely. Very, very interesting. And that is, I swear, the story of my life. Me having to do one thing for functionality, but then there's something off to the side pulling me in another direction and I just can't resist it. So yeah, that was great. Thank you for that.
Can I add one more thing on?
Oh, certainly.
Of course. This is what happens. One more thing turns into an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let me... Yes, and this pool is stronger than it was in December, and it will continue to get stronger until you are jumping on that timeline and path it's going to take you to where ultimately you're going to be the happiest.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, totally making sense to me. I will fill you in on that sometime in the near future off the air, okay?
Fantastic.
But what we're doing here, I think, is playing a is laying down a brick in that foundation. So that's good stuff. So Amanda, thank you again for the time. I'm not going to keep you much longer here on this edition of Unexplained Incorporated, but I want to let you and the listeners in on a bit of a tee up as to what's going on next week, as next week is the first Friday in June, which means that the beginning of each month, it's another case study on Unexplained Incorporated. But I'm spicing things up a little bit. I decided I didn't want to do a case study on my own and basically revising and reiterating information I found through my research. I wanted to bring in a partner with me and I wanted to do a tie-in. So I reached out to my brother, who is the host of the Trail Went Cold podcast, one of the finest true crime podcasts around. And he is joining me for a case study that blends together the paranormal and true crime. So here's what we are doing. I decided, or this is actually all his credit, and then I said, "Oh, great idea. Let's do that." That was my contribution to the discussion, to be transparent. He said he reminded me of an old case on Unsolved Mysteries where a Filipino woman who worked as a nurse in Chicago was murdered, and I can't remember if it was a close friend or family member had dreams and premonitions and direct communications with her spirit, her ghost. And through those communications, this individual was able to lead police onto the right trail and eventually catch the man who murdered her. My brother said, "There's that case, and I have strong reason to believe Patrick Swayze's ghost may or may not have been based on this true story." And then right away, that just blew my mind. And I said, "Oh, wow. Yeah, we totally need to do a discussion and a swap cast on this." And here's what's funny, Amanda. The universe working in its true amazing fashion. I was home Friday night with, my daughter and just
Yes.
kind of sitting around trying to find something to do. I decided to scan television to look for any movies. And guess what movie I find last Friday night?
Well, of course.
And
Ghost.
yes, and I was like, this is great. This is totally going to be a thing. And so I sat down and I watched the movie for quite possibly the first time in like 25 years or so. And to this day, it still holds up pretty strong. I'll get more into that on next week's show. But what I want from you right now is I want your opinion on how the unexplained, be it paranormal or psychic phenomenon, it can help police departments, detectives, and true crime investigators or forensic investigators. Sure, one case was based in reality, one was in a movie, but both used the paranormal to basically expose frauds and murderers. So what are your thoughts on those two worlds intersecting with one another before we wrap up here?
Yeah, so forensic mediumship has been used quite a bit, actually. I would say more lately, it is gaining more credibility because of the results that are being derived from it. Oh boy, it just goes into so much. For instance, remote viewing has been used for a very long time. So that's using your psychic senses, whether it's clairvoyance, clear seeing, clear knowing, clear feeling, to pinpoint certain targets and have it actually be accurate within, what, 2 meters? So, I mean, it's not anything new. I would say probably people are taking it more seriously now more than ever because of the results that are happening. And I would think that you better believe that some of the largest law enforcement agencies are getting an edge any way they can in cracking some of these cold cases and missing people.
That's incredible because, I mean, I'm sure there was a point in time where that was completely laughed at and dismissed. And the case Robin and I are going to be looking at next week, I believe, happened in 1977 or 78. So, I mean, the fact that law enforcement in Chicago back then took those leads from that source is pretty groundbreaking, wouldn't you say?
I would say that psychic medium is extremely credible and had gained a lot of recognition and notoriety for it. Yeah.
And you mentioned remote viewing. I think we're going to have an entirely separate conversation about this in another episode and how it got embraced by intelligence agencies all over the world. It's a really fascinating subject, one we unfortunately will not have time for today. But before we wrap up, I have one more question, and it is connected to the movie Ghost, because movies all have, you know, producers and script supervisors that keep tracks of continuity, but certain facts either get adjusted or manipulated in order to fit the story, whatever the movie may be, right? So I just want to spend a second on Whoopi Goldberg's character, the medium Oda Mae Brown. This character arc is so funny because at first she basically is a charlatan. She pretends to be a medium and ends up taking people's money when she's really not doing a damn thing.
Yeah.
But then when Patrick Swayze's ghost comes to her and starts communicating with her, she can hear him and realizes that, no, wait, she actually does have a gift that she doesn't even want. And it completely freaks her out and turns her world upside down. And that's how she gets involved in the story. But one thing I wanted to ask you was a neat little twist in the middle of the movie is that once she can hear Patrick Swayze's character, all of a sudden, whatever clients come and see her at her shop, she can now hear all the spirits that surround them, and she just can't handle it. And then when Swayze goes back to see her, she says something along the lines of, like, damn it, what did you start? Now these people talk to me all the time and I can't turn them off. So I just want to know from you, is it possible for someone to get the gift automatically, not even realizing that they had it, and then the floodgates open and they can't turn it off, similar to the Oda Mae Brown character?
Oh boy, absolutely. Okay. And I would say it's an ability, right? Mediumship is an ability, and the more work and practice and opening yourself up to it, yes, of course, it's going to strengthen the ability. It's going to strengthen everything, your intuition, your connection to spirit. And the more time that you connect to spirit, it forms a pathway. So more spirits are drawn to you because that pathway has been formed. You're now a lighthouse of light that draws spirit in, potentially. I would say hearing voices or seeing things, you can't turn it off, is part of not being able to or knowing how to manage your ability. So grounding or meditations that help to set boundaries are so important, or else who knows what you're inviting into your house and into your family. Doubt. So yeah, boundaries are key. I would say I've only had a few spirits that have trashed right through my boundaries and have popped up in the middle of the night. It's only happened twice.
Okay.
But for some reason they were able to get in and
Okay. And away we went. Well, that's that's another story for another day. But I want a clarification on that, because so I can now say, okay, the movie is actually a lot more realistic than it was probably intended to be when it was released way back in 1990. And that part of the movie is just comic gold. It's the classic character, be careful what you wish for because you just might get it. You pose to have a gift and then you get the gift and you hate it and you don't even want it. And it works great for the arc in the storyline of that movie. But it is so cool to know that that arc is actually very realistic and can happen, especially if others, like you said, don't really understand what they're doing or don't have their boundaries set. That's, yeah, fascinating stuff.
Definitely. It's the law of attraction. You pretend to be something long enough and it's probably going to happen. So you kind of get what you give.
No doubt. Amanda, thank you so much again for being with us. This was a great start to what I think is going to be a long, fulfilling segment here on Unexplained Incorporated. And just before you go, where can the people find you? Because we're getting more and more on board each week. And I just want to say one thing too, sorry, before you go on, is that these questions were tremendous. But don't be shy when you're writing to one of us to share a story involving psychic or unexplained phenomenon, because we'll just read your story straight through and have Amanda analyze it. So keep that in mind. Stories, even if they're lengthy, are just as good as short questions. But yes,
I would say that, and also photographic evidence. So photos. So if you have photos of orbs or unexplained energy, I love taking a look at that and debunking and looking at that. Yeah.
This is an audio-only podcast, at least for the time being, however. I am on the Twitter and the Facebook, so we could always post those photos in there with your permission, of course. So, Amanda, where can they find you?
So my website is www.amandadrago444.com. Or on social media, Instagram, amandadrago444, and as well as Facebook. Yeah.
All right. Thanks again for coming with us. And we'll look forward to talking to you at the end of June. And who knows what we'll have to discuss by then.
Well, thanks so much for having me on. I'm definitely obsessed with what I do. So I love talking about it and sharing. And I'm excited to read some more questions.
Oh, yes. You're welcome back anytime.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
I sincerely hope you enjoyed the first ever psychic mailbag here on Unexplained Incorporated. We want more of your questions, like Amanda said at the end of the episode, amandadrago444@hotmail.ca. Questions or spiritual psychic stories, we would love to hear them. You can hit me up anytime, phantomphilunexplained@gmail.com. Check me out on Twitter at PhantomPhil3, or sign up and like the Facebook page, which is going to be getting more and more attention the next little while. As a matter of fact, the June 19th episode, which will be a Close Encounters episode, is still open. I am open to receiving your stories. If you want to come on the podcast and talk about your experience for, you know, anywhere between 30 to 60 minutes, let me know at any of those aforementioned outlets, and we'll hear what you have to say. As we all know, we're open for business and ready to believe you. In the meantime, I'm so excited about next week's case study, I should say. I'm slurring my words. I'm so excited. As Robin, who also happens to be my older brother, the host of the true crime podcast, The Trail Went Cold, is going to be making an appearance, as we're going to look at the movie Ghost. And with his expertise in the true crime area, he's going to tie it into a real life murder that may or may not have been solved by a spirit from the other side. Can't wait for this one. In the meantime, you know what I always say, I'm going to say it once again. Stay strong, stay healthy, and most importantly, stay curious. And until June, the doors of Unexplained Incorporated are now closed.